Welcome to the Make Money Living Your Purpose podcast. I'm prosperity coach Karen Powell, and this is the podcast for heart-centered leaders, innovators, and creatives who dream of leaving their 9-to-5 to pursue their passion project but don't know where to start. I'm sharing my proven process that will help you heal your money mindset and figure out your own unique purpose in life. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it so much. And I've been getting some messages saying that you're sharing it with your friends and your colleagues. And I really appreciate that so much. My hope is that this content will inspire people to start connecting with their dreams that live deep in their heart. Because the more people living in joy and fulfillment and prosperity, the world just becomes a better place for everyone. So speaking of making this world a better place, I have an amazing woman on the podcast today. Marie-Jeanne Dambira is a member of my Money on Purpose community, as well as my Impact Acceleration Coaching Program. She is a dear friend of mine and a person I think all of her friends would say is one of these rare people who you just know you can count on to be there for you no matter what time of day or night, no matter what's happening. Marie-Jeanne just puts the fire out first and asks questions later. And she's going to share a bit about her Money on Purpose journey with you and the transformation that helped her to recognize something in herself that she didn't want to acknowledge at first, but found out later that healing it would provide so much freedom for her. So Marie-Jeanne is so many things. She's such a multifaceted person, and I'm going to let her introduce herself. But first, I'm going to do a mini introduction because I'm pretty sure she's going to leave these things out. She's a TEDx speaker, and she is a CNN African Voices Changemaker. She's the founder of Namibia's Physically Active Youth Program, which has been featured on Michelle Obama's Instagram page. Welcome to the podcast, Marie-Jeanne. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Karen.
Was I right? How would you introduce yourself? I know you wouldn't say, well, my work's been featured on CNN's African Voice Changemakers and on Michelle Obama's Instagram page. Am I right?
No, you're right. The only thing I'll change is that with a pay program, just say that I'm a co-founder.
Okay, you're the co-founder. Yeah.
How would I introduce myself? I would say, hello, good day, good morning, how are you? My name is Marie-Jeanne Dambira-Rosner. I am currently a PhD candidate at Rutgers University in Newark, New Jersey. I am Namibian. I come from a big family of all girls. I have a beautiful family of my own. I have a 10-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. And most value to me, I have an amazing husband who's this, a partner who's just so supportive and so amazing. And who, yeah, we're doing life together. I am excited to be here today. Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you here. I just can't wait to see what we get into. And I'm so sorry that I left out Rosner. Please, Michael's gonna kill me. I don't know how I just blanked on that, but of course, You are Dambira Rosner. So I'm so excited for our conversation today, and I'm so grateful that you're here. So the Money on Purpose journey, the program, is all about connecting with your purpose, creating your unique impact in the world, while also allowing yourself to be prosperous and live a whole lifestyle that feels fulfilling and is full of freedom. And when you came to Money on Purpose, what were you hoping to connect with or get clarity on or heal specifically? Do you remember?
I actually do. It was about a week before, not even a week, maybe a few days before my 40th birthday. And literally the day before the closing date for registering for Money on Purpose. And I knew I wanted something different, like moving forward, like being 40. I knew I needed to do something, and I knew it had to come from inside of me, you know? I knew it was something that it was not an external journey. It was not an external experience. I knew it was something that I had to do for myself. I remember I felt so strongly about it that I even literally I paid for it myself. I didn't even discuss it with, not with a friend, not with my husband. It was a very personal decision. It was a gift to myself for turning 40 and saying, mm-hmm. okay, let's face yourself. Let's, you know, like I knew I needed something and I wasn't quite clear what it was. And at the same breath, I also knew that I needed one of the major changes I wanted in my life was financial abundance. And the name of the course is Money on Purpose. So, I called you. I asked you, what is this course really about? You know, and mm-hmm. you told me you didn't, you know, I remember you didn't push me one way or another. And I was like, okay, fine. Send me a link. I'll sign up. That's how I got into it.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I never push anybody one way or the other in something like this, because like you say, it is such an internal thing. This is not actually about external, although it might seem like it when we're talking about money blocks and, you know, money on purpose and living your purpose. So connecting with something that you're going to be doing, all of that is that might look external, like what you're doing on the external, you know, work in the external world, but it's all about connecting with yourself inside. And everybody's coming for different reasons, and everybody's actually getting different results because you come for what is happening in your life at the moment. So when you say you were just about to turn 40, you knew that there was something stirring within you. There was a feeling, there was an intention that you wanted some kind of change, but you didn't exactly know what that was. So, okay, then let's focus on something. So let's focus on clearing out money blocks and maybe figuring out my purpose or connecting with my purpose. Let's see what happens with that. But there's a deeper intention within. And when people come to the program with a deeper intention within, that is just so powerful. So what happened? What did you find? Were you connecting with when you were, as you, you know, got into the program, hopped into the journey?
I was really hoping to show up for myself, you know? And so once I had a little bit of apprehension and I started to show up, and basically I had to move through that, right? So I started to show up for myself, and it was only when I started to logistically show up for myself, and sometimes what I was writing didn't make sense or whatever it was, and sticking to it, that the good stuff started happening, right? So once I was showing up, I was writing, I was just doing the things. I remember literally sitting.
Is that what you mean by logistically showing up? Like, what does that mean, logistically showing up?
That are in the program, right? So doing and breathing. And I just like, okay. Once I was able to do that regularly, you know, I don't think I was present in the processes. I was just literally just ticking them off at first, maybe for even 2 weeks. And then at some point I realized what I was doing, you know, I started to feel it inside of myself. I started to hear my voice a little bit clearer, my inner voice. And mm-hmm. then when I was writing, like you do all these exercises and you see things, like I start to notice, like it was an awareness that came up in me, right? So awareness about little things in my life, about just noticing an improvement in like the relationship with my husband. And it's not what I'd come for. Remember, I'd come to get money. I remember noticing myself, my language to myself inside my head. I remember noticing some of the things that I was doing. I remember just awareness coming to me. And then it was like mm-hmm. such as a phase. I started with like just doing it, you know, doing it correctly, like, you know, being able to tick off the box, like all my little boxes, okay, I'm doing it. And then I started being aware of what was going on around me. Then I'd even test it and sort of like behave in a particular way and see how just the world responded to me differently. And then I'd go back to behaving a certain way that I was learning through the process. And then I started to understand myself and my own patterns and just like the questioning process, just like it's almost like I was doing an evaluation. It's like I was auditing, but in a very kind, in a very gentle way. And there were certain things I thought about myself I thought were funny. There were times I would cry because I had that little picture of my 2-year-old self, 2 or 3-year-old self. And then some deep, deep things started to show up for me, you know? And I think the first thing I noticed was it came to me just as I was writing that my body and myself were two separate things. And the first time that came up for me, I was like, what does that mean? What does that even mean? And then the more I would explore it in my writing, like my notes and my morning pages and all of that, I understood that my means of survival in the environment that I grew up in, that I felt targeted me, you know, or hated me, my body and my skin color, I just separated the two. And so I operated as, I liked myself. I seemed to really like myself as a personality. And I sort of went with that. And my body, I detached from because it brought about feelings I was uncomfortable about. And so I had to go through this process of exploring my body. And I was realizing, oh, but this is why I couldn't have a positive relationship with my body because we were not one. And I remember starting on going on this journey of bringing my body and me together. And it was so shocking to me because I didn't even know that could be a thing. And then I started to, sometimes I Google it and I check up and I'll be like, oh, you know, people who, you know, bring your body to yourself in order to manifest. I was like, what? I was like, this is part of the process. So there are other people who do this for different reasons. I was like, I was just so flabbergasted. But I was also because I think the nature of the course, the process was so gentle. Like I wasn't harsh on myself. I was surprised. I was also surprised at how clever a little child can be for survival purposes. And just sort of like marrying the two and having this really beautiful relationship now a few years on with my body. And the relationship is such that I now, you know, sometimes you'd go to, like, I'd be in a yoga class or you'd be doing a breathing exercise with you in one of the, you know, one of the sessions and like, oh, where do you feel this? No way. No way. And now I was like, okay, I can actually tell you where I'm feeling, you know, something feeling blocked, where I'm feeling energy. I can tell you where I'm feeling anxiety. I know how to breathe through it and move through it. Whenever I was in a situation, as I said, I think particularly of yoga classes or just like breathing or wherever. And people say, oh, do you feel this? No, I don't. I don't feel it. I don't feel anything in my body. And I couldn't feel it because I think there was a very, very clear disconnect between who I was and my body, you know. And once it came together, I now know the difference because who I am now is so different. Like even as I'm talking to you right now, I can feel some sort of like twitch in my right foot, right? So I didn't have those kinds of feelings, you know, unless it was excruciating pain. I didn't feel the little things. I didn't feel the movement of things in my body. I didn't feel the tingles and the twinkles and that kind of thing, you know? And so I feel that now. I can go into a room. It's interesting. It's not like I don't have intuition, but now my intuition is also physical, right? So now I can go into a room and my hairs can go up, you know? Before I think it would physically happen, but I wouldn't necessarily notice unless I looked. It was like a marrying of like my body and myself. And now we move in life together, you know? So my body is of service to me and I'm in pursuit of being of service to my body. You know, I haven't quite gotten where I'd like to be, but I'm, you know, I'm definitely on the journey. My self-worth conversation for me like I had to even start it from the place of now my whole self, right? Because it was even difficult to start because I wasn't a whole, like the way I was operating wasn't necessarily whole. And bringing myself together, my body and like my personality, then I started to have this conversation about self-worth and about myself. And, you know, you introduced me and spoke about all these things I can do externally. I can do amazing things outside of me. But inside of me, coming together, like knitting all the different parts of me and then loving them, you know, because I guess I had sort of like gotten rid of it because I couldn't love it. I couldn't accept it. And just bringing all of that together and seeing how I was being kinder to myself automatically, like not necessarily being taught, just once the knitting took place and I became one with my body and my body became one with me, I started to do things right, like boundaries. I started to feel that this isn't good for me, or this is very good for me, and do more things that are good for me and do less things that are not good for me. There's certain things I still struggle to let go of, but I know they're not good. It's not even a case of not knowing. I'm very aware of it. I look at myself in the mirror with so much pleasure now, you know. I can see the beauty of me.
Yeah, I just want to highlight something that you said about being connected to your body and how it has brought on this feeling of self-worth, a stronger feeling of self-worth, and that when you were younger, you felt, you know, you had to be disconnected to your body because of whatever was going on. And we all do this. It's this sort of dismemberment is what someone else, Sophie called it in another interview. She felt dismembered before, you know, the integration that she experienced from the Money on Purpose journey. And that is when we're little, we are sort of, we disconnect with our bodies if we're going through things that are difficult. And when you are, as we get older, now you're learning how to connect with your body. You're learning how to breathe into it and to be present into it. And you were saying that you're also learning how to love it. And the thing is, we can't love something that we're not connected to, right? So you're learning how to, you're able to love your body, love yourself, because you are connecting to it, because you're allowing yourself to connect to it gently and with patience and with compassion. And I love that, you know, you spent the first couple of weeks just kind of mechanically going through the stuff. And that's fine. It's fantastic that you just kept with it. And it's not about doing anything perfectly. It's just about showing up for yourself. And as you do that, then something connects. You actually connected something within you that started to give you information about who you are, what you like, what you don't like. And I love how you were doing experiments, like, oh, if I act like this, what's going to happen? If I act like this, what's going to happen? And you would see the different responses that you'd get from people because of the way that you presented yourself and how you know acted or presented. And I just think it's so interesting, this connection that we can get if we just spend a little bit of time in a daily practice, a simple daily practice. It's very simple and it doesn't take a lot of time, just of connecting with your breath, going inward. And then what happens is you're actually connecting with your intuition. And when you say, you know, you would walk into a room and before you would feel something, but it'd be some kind of pain, you wouldn't even know what it was. Now when you walk into a room and your intuition picks something up, you can feel and sense the message that your intuition is trying to tell you, the guidance that your intuition is trying to tell you. And that's what's so important if we want to create a life that we love and a fulfilling life and a purposeful life. Our intuition is going to get us there. It's your intuition that's going to guide you there. And so if you're not connected with your body, you're not connected with your intuition you won't hear it very loudly. You'll hear it in other ways of, like you say, of pain or something that are confusing. But now that you know, it's like, oh, I'm in my body and my body's actually so wise and it's guiding me. So you started to notice guidance from your body. You started to notice your intuition telling you things. What kinds of things was it telling you?
I started to notice my chest, like I'd say the just really up on my chest, just under my collarbone, my left. I noticed how I would get a little bit tight. I didn't know what that was. I was to later learn this is anxiety, and I learned how to breathe through it. And then I was able to see what would bring me anxiety, right? And so whereas, before I was unaware of it. So I was unaware that this part is tight. I just know I would have strange behavior at time. I didn't even know I had any form of anxiety. And I went to I explored that, right? And so exploring it and realizing, okay, what came up for me was fear. I was extremely, I was extremely shocked at how much fear I lived in. I mean, I'm the same person who wouldn't drive on highways, but apparently I thought it was just for the highways, but it seems like I had a lot of fear. And the fear, which was connected to control, so a controlling nature about me, which was a way to manage the fear. And I guess when I was unable to control a situation, I'd have this anxiety, which before I didn't know. Like, I guess it would show up differently. It'd show up as maybe me not picking up a phone call, or maybe me not showing up, or me being abrasive or rude, or just not showing up for myself, like just not going somewhere, not doing something. And once I was able to feel it in my body, as I said, like I know where I feel it, and I know how to take the type of breath I put into something, and that I can, move through it. It's amazing. These are things I could not do before because there was just no awareness around it. And, subsequently recognizing I really have no control, right? And surrendering to this process of life, I did not address the fear as such. I just decided to accept that it's there, but it's not overpowering. I really just focus and really try to work on my internal voice around the things that I can do and the things that I do well, and give that more prominence. And I think that, or I feel where I am right now in my journey, let's say before, like 90% of me was like fear. I've just broken even. I would say I'm at like 51, and 51 in the positive direction. And really I can see a difference in life, and like not giving up, and not, and not being scared of like failure or whatever it is. I recently submitted my full dissertation, and my chair got back to me and said to me, whoops, revisions. And I'm so sure in the past, it would have been a whole internal monologue about how inadequate I am, I would have been beating down on myself. I would have been so upset. I would have been so angry towards everybody and everything. And then I would have tuned out for 7-8 months and then shown up again almost a year later to deal with it, or not shown up at all. And I was
upset. Oh my goodness, is that what it looks like? Is that what it looks like to you would shut down for 7-8 months because of something like that in the past?
Yes, definitely. Shut down, like complete shutdown.
Yeah.
And this time I was like, okay, I was upset. And I was upset like for 2 or 3 weeks. I processed it. I did this. And I have this just like a different approach. How is this working for me? I was like, I'll have a better product. I like, even now as I'm working through it, I can see the improvement of like the quality and the messaging of this dissertation. I have moments of frustration, and take a few breaths in. I'm like very frustrated. I don't want to do this. Why am I being put through all of this? But okay, I had also set an intention for a good quality product. So it's not even her, it's me. I wanted a good quality product. And so everything around me has conspired that I produce a good quality product. It is not her. It is not my dear husband who edits it. It's not everybody who I get upset at and lash out. It's me who set an intention for having a high quality product. And I have to remind myself of this, even when I'm sitting and feeling sorry for myself, you know? So I think that this is how I see the difference in like who I am becoming. The conversations in my head are very different. And that leads me to tell you something about one of the big things I realized was conversations in my head. Again, through this whole process, I remember seeing once, oh, something came out about me being a victim, like taking on a victim mentality. Ooh, Karen, I saw that. I did not like it. I turned over. I did not even entertain it. I continued writing about whatever it was.
What do you
was.
Mean it came out? It came out in what?
In my writing.
In your free writes?
My free
writings, yeah.
Okay. My free writings. I don't even think it was one page in my free writes. Interesting, as I'm speaking to you now, my right side, like my lower abdomen, something just, so like it's still clearly a little bit sensitive. So anyway, so the victim mentality piece came out for me and I didn't want to deal with it. And it would show up regularly and I didn't want to deal with it. And then one day I was like, okay, let's talk about this. You really don't want to leave. Because what would happen is I would see it or I would hear it in the things I was saying to different people. Or I would think back to a situation and I would see how I assumed the position of victim. Okay. And then because it kept coming out so strongly, I really just said, okay, let's understand this. And I always say let's because I seem to have so many voices going. Anyway, so, and once I understood that it was a role I had taken on, and the role I had taken on as a child, and I could remember pretty much, you know, some of the earlier times when I was in this role and I put myself in this role, and then a role that I strongly identified with. I was, you know, okay. I was shocked because I consider myself a strong one, but apparently I put myself in this role. It explained a lot of experiences that I'd had. And I remembered having had a conversation with a very good friend of mine. We were neighbors growing up, and we were talking about one of our friends, and she's like, oh, but, you know, she takes on this victim role. And 5 minutes later, I don't know what I did. And this is when we're 18. 5 minutes later, I say something and do something. And she's like, oh, who's the victim now? Like, there you go, you know? And it was between, like, the three of us. And so one of my friends, I'm still friends with, said, he's like, you took on the victim role. So I even called her and I told her, do you remember this? She goes, of course I do. And so I'm telling her about what this experience is. And she's like, oh, you know, she didn't even say, oh, you're not a victim. She was quiet. And I was like, okay, that affirmed it. And I started to really just see in all my relationships, in all my conversations, in my workspace, in all of it, like how I would take on that role and having to unweave that as part of my identity and understanding that I have a voice and I can use it, understanding that, I don't know, I just felt stronger slowly. Sometimes it was easier to go back into that because I knew how to behave, but I was like, no, I can be responsible. I can also own up for my own things. You know, like I realized that you could also hide behind being a victim. So I was able to, like, you know, be in situations, hold my own, apologize. And what I noticed with moving from being a victim was that it also allowed so much more integrity into my life, you know, like integrity with myself, but also externally facing integrity, because I was accountable, you know, and I was being accountable to myself. And I can see these things happen. Like I can articulate certain things clearly. And I don't need, because I think part of being a victim for me was, I guess, having some sort of like love or pity from people, but I don't need that external validation, at least not in the way that I did. And I think that is probably one of the biggest breakthroughs of my life. I think that's what's maybe my gift to myself, my post 40 gift is, this is how my transformation is coming. You know, this liberation from being a victim and from victimhood And I can see it like with this particular situation that I'm going through with, you know, rewriting two chapters and still having a good, like, I'm impressed at like how I really have a good attitude about it. And also, like, you know, I was telling.
Well, because it's changed, because the energy about it has changed.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what the victim mentality is actually, what it was a way for you to adapt as a little girl and put some armor on. You know, we talk about the armor in the Money and Purpose Journey, that we all get this armor put onto us when we're little to help us to deal with things that are difficult. And so the victim mentality came onto you to help you to, it sort of softens the blow of what's going on. And so you learned how to use that for your own, let's say, quote unquote, benefit to somehow help you. And then we carry these things through our lives. And then when you're older, you might have found, and I'm, you know, we do a whole thing about recurring patterns in Money and Purpose, where you start identifying recurring patterns that you feel are stopping you, that are holding you back, that are not serving you, but they just keep happening. And what happens in the beginning, and like you were even saying this, when victimhood came up in your writings, in your journaling, you were like, oh, no, you know, just kind of wanted to ignore it for a while. And that's okay, because we all do that, because the thing is, our recurring patterns, we can look at them and we can actually say, but this really is happening. Like, this person really is being this way to me, or this situation is for real happening. I'm not imagining it. And it's true. It is happening. However, when we start gaining awareness about our recurring patterns, they become this huge gift and this huge opportunity for healing what's sitting underneath your armor. So all that's happened, Marie-Jeanne, is that you're first becoming aware of it, and then engaging in the daily practice and the release and the healing process of releasing what's sitting underneath the armor. You are actually releasing that little by little through these different exercises. And so we don't even realize what's happening, but you are releasing energy that's holding that victimhood in place. So think of the victimhood as your armor. And as you're working through the daily breathing, the daily releasing, the connecting with your body, the connecting with your very young self, the releasing through journaling, that energy is becoming less and less needing to be held on to. So your victimhood energy is actually starting to seep away. It's seeping away, and you can feel it. I mean, just the way that you said, you know, before you would have spent 7-8 months feeling like a victim in that feedback that you got, and now it took you 2-3 weeks to get through it. That's because that victim mentality energy has, so much of it has seeped away because of your daily practice. Does that make sense to you? Sort of see how that happened?
Yeah. You articulated it very well. Thank you. Yes. Yeah.
That's why I say that our recurring patterns are the goldmine of the soul, because look at your recurring patterns. They might come up and you'll think, no, that's, you know, like the first, your first inclination was, no, I want to ignore this because, and it will, that's normal to say, no, I want to ignore this because your body has been using this, your psyche has been using this to protect you. But the thing is, when you are on this kind of a journey of healing, you don't need that kind of quote unquote protection. It's not real protection. It's actual fake protection. It's kind of a way of just making you think that you're protected, but you're really not. When you're a victim, you're actually being held back in your life. So you allowing yourself to become aware of it and then release the energy that is underneath it, it loses its power, it loses its, it just doesn't play a factor anymore, or less and less and less, as you've seen by what you're experiencing. So cool the way it happens. I'm always so fascinated by it. And our recurring patterns are usually things that we want to hold on to for a while. Mm-hmm.
and what the recurring pattern does to you, right? So I, you know, we speak a lot about like joy and happiness and what, you know, just it's easier to even just like to manifest things when you are a joyful person. And when you, I think for me, the part of being a victim, you know, as I said, has the connection with control and fear. I was surprised at how it took away joy and like happiness. And then I found myself in the space. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe I'm intentionally pursuing joy and happiness. And that it, and just like first acknowledging to myself that I didn't have deep-seated joy and happiness. And I just, because I didn't think I was an unhappy person.
Wow.
You know, just because you're not depressed and on medication doesn't mean you're joyful. And I was thinking about like, and how to just like, and doing all these things that brought joy to my life and brought happiness to me. Mm. And, you know, because it's also like there was a contradicting conversation about at times it would be, oh, you're being weak. You're allowing things to, you know, you're allowing maybe people to get away with things, or it's not how you wanted and how you wanted things to be. And I'll just have to have these conversations with myself. I was like, this is you trying to control a situation you cannot control. And that takes away your joy, you know? And so I was like, I'm choosing joy. And sometimes like stepping out, feeling the sun, you know, coming, hitting my face in the spring and doing something fun with the children, just like running around. It's, you know, listening to them.
Yeah. Cause think about it. A victim yeah. will not allow herself to have that because yeah. I'm a victim.
So a
victim. If I'm holding on to that identity, a victim cannot be joyful, or a victim cannot actively pursue joy, right? Because that would like blow your whole cover.
Correct.
So,
bingo. Because and that is, and in the beginning, I was stuck between that. I looked a little bit like schizophrenic. I'll be like, I'm joy, and that, but I want to be, you know, I was moving between the two. I was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know?
But that's so beautiful because it's just showing how this is what I talk about when I say real healing. This is such a beautiful example of what I mean by actual, real, deep healing. That's what we do in this process. That's what we do in this program is actually getting to the things that are so deep inside that you can't actually change with your mind. You could not have talked yourself into, you know, feeling joy and going for joy. You could have tried to do it for a while, but it's not going to stick, right? If you still have that victim mentality energy that is actively gripping you inside, it's not going to let you do that without a fight. So you had that fight for a while, but then as you're releasing the energy that's underneath the victimhood, which the victimhood doesn't even know what's going on. It's just like this energy underneath it is being released little by little, just kind of on the side, you know, just subtly every day being released through the daily practice. All of a sudden you realize, oh my goodness, I want to pursue joy. I want to do some things that feel fun and that feel good. And I'm not wrestling with myself as much anymore. I'm allowing myself to do it. And didn't that just kind of sneak up on you like that? I remember feeling that too, just one day just feeling different internally, like, whoa, I feel different. I am reacting differently. The old me would not have done this.
Yes, that's literally, and that's why I said to you, it felt like a break-even point. I was like, oh, I'm more joyful now. I mean, I'm not saying we're exactly where I need to be, but I'm definitely more joyful now than I am a victim. And it's beautiful. It's such a natural choice now. It's more, I don't have to think about it. I tend to choose ease, flow, joy, peace. You know, even though there's a conversation.
Yeah, and look.
The conversation doesn't stop. Because, you know, sometimes it's about simple things like, I'd like this place to be cleaner. You know, or, you know, things that are probably
yeah, look, this doesn't, we can't pursue joy 100% of the time. Okay.
No.
We can try to pursue it, but you don't get it because yeah. life is not 100% joyful. And that's not even the goal. That's not even the aim. You know, we're not saying that we're trying to get 100% joy here. It's life is going to be some good, some bad, some happy, some sad, some up, some down. That is just what life is. But when you can really feel like, when you say 51%, when you can tip the scale and say, gosh, what used to be like very little bit, and now it's 51% joy, that's more than enough. 51% joy is more than enough, actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just feeling thankful. So I think, like, I remember that, you speak about, like I told you about how things were mechanical. I was always mechanically thankful. And when I had more joy and happiness, I felt the thankfulness, you know? I know what I was, like, I could say I'm thankful for, you know, a beautiful home, or I'm thankful for, you know, a wonderful husband and marriage. I'm thankful for just for love. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for our health. You know, I would write all these things, you know. I'm thankful for just support and kindness and just like always being, you know, taken care of by the process of life. I would write it, but I can tell you that until I reached this space of joy and happiness, I don't know if I felt it, you know? And now I feel it. Like, I can just look at the things that I'm thankful for and I burst into a smile, you know? Like, I have a warm, fuzzy feeling in my body. And
yeah,
that took time, though. So I was always thankful. I think I was mechanically thankful for years. But now I'm thankful.
And that's the thing, is we can...
inside me.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can actually experience what gratitude feels like. And that is because there's been a deep healing that's taken place. There's a shift internally that has happened within you that you can feel what gratitude feels like. Because the victim armor, that victim mentality, which was your armor that you needed, by the way, you needed it growing up, where it's not a bad thing. It's actually something that served you for a certain amount of time, but then it doesn't serve you anymore as an adult. But that victim mentality would not allow for you to feel grateful, because the two do not go, they can't exist in the same space. So that's why gratitude would feel mechanical. And now gratitude feels real. So for anybody listening, feeling like, you know, this whole gratitude thing, I don't get it. I tried, I just can't get it. It could be, if you don't feel gratitude, that there's something within you that's ready to be healed that can allow you to really experience gratitude. And I just also want to say that, again, with our armor, we cannot take it off. You cannot do it with your mind. You cannot do it with, you know, just saying, I want to take my armor off. I want to get rid of this victim mentality. You've got to be gentle and compassionate towards it. And that's the process, actually. It's going in when you are connecting with your very young self, your inner child, you're connecting with your body, you're connecting with your breath, you're taking time for yourself, you're maybe making some new boundaries with people, and you're being, you know, you're just taking these little steps that we do along the way, that it very gently allows you to slip underneath the victim mentality armor and access some things that are ready to be released. And the healing is actually a process of release. It's nothing more than that. It's actually very simple.
Yeah.
It is just so amazing how, when we heal ourselves, the ripple effect that it takes on in our lives, with our relationships, with just everything else. And it all starts with ourselves and integrating those parts of yourself that have been, you know, had to be sort of separated because of whatever was happening in our childhoods, and coming back to the self and reintegrating the self, bringing ourselves together, healing, allowing ourselves to heal, and allowing ourselves to dream big. Because I think that is really what also initiates the healing process, is when we decide, you know what, I want something more for myself. Like you did just before your 40th birthday, saying, I want something more for myself. I'm going to articulate and say that I would like something. I would like to receive something. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but, you know, just allowing yourself to go for something. And when you do that, you trigger a healing response from the universe. It helps you. It comes in. It supports you and shows you how to take the steps and what is needed. And that's what always is amazing to me when I watch, you know, everybody going through the journey and going through their different things that are happening. It's different for everybody, but everything is lining up with exactly what you need. And so I just think it's, you know, just that feeling of being held and being supported, I think is quite miraculous that we just get given what we need to heal the things that are ready to be healed. Is there anything else that you want to share with us and let us know before we close up?
I think one of the biggest challenges in this process is that, especially as grown-ups, we have an identity. And our identity is tied to so many things, like to our past experiences, to our communities, our culture. And like we hold on to it, you know, for dear life. And I think it's something worth exploring, whether these identities we hold on to and these communities we hold on to, or like parts of some of the aspects of the or attributes of these communities that we've internalized that are a part of our identity and we hold on to them strongly. Like, do they serve us? You know, whether it's just, you know, in like religious practices, whatever. And like you have to ask whether it serves you. What position does that put you in? I think that's one of the biggest things that I really learned. And I had to choose who it is that I want to be in the world. And sometimes it contradicted some of these identities. And I had to free myself, give myself independence and the permission. And you need nobody else's permission but your own. Because you give yourself the permission to be great. No one else will give it to you. You know? And I think this process is a great like conduit platform to get you to this, to sort of like this understanding and this reckoning of who you are, who you want to be, and how you get there.
Sure, beautiful. Yeah, it's taking the time to question things, mm-hmm. taking time for yourself to just be quiet within yourself. And like you shared with us, sometimes you would get questions would come up. Well, do I want this? Does this serve me? What something would try to you know, when a question comes up, it creates a space for an answer. And so when we create that space for questions and answers to come, then we can start moving forward. Then we can start healing. Then we can start creating what we want. But if we just run through life without being present, nothing can change. So Marie-Jeanne, thank you so much for sharing your stories and your heart with us. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. I loved it. It was a great reflection exercise.
Yeah, it's good to talk about it sometimes, isn't it? Just to think back and to think, gosh, what have I gone through? What have I been through? What's, you know, how did I get here? So Thank you so much. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining Marie-Jeanne and me today. Remember that when you are brave enough to heal your blocks and step into your life's purpose, you become a force for good in the world. I'll see you next time. If you're ready to start creating the lifestyle of your dreams, I want to invite you to join GPS, my Gratitude Practice for Success program, where you'll learn my unique and proven manifesting process. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's already helping hundreds of people go from thinking their dreams were impossible to making them happen quickly. Whether you want to manifest your dream home, your soulmate, a brand new career living your life's purpose, or even financial freedom, it's yours to claim now. Just head over to kcpowell.com/GPS and I will show you how.